Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Toyless to Titles. My name is Justin Stevens, and I'm here with my co-host, Nate. You guys might notice that there's a third window missing from our screen here. John is a little bit under the weather. I think as much as he likes to say he doesn't get into politics, he's closetly watching the Electoral College right now as we speak, but I don't blame him. I'd call in a sick day if I would have thought of it first, too. How's it going, Nate?
It's going well. It feels good to be back here back on the podcast. I know I was on it once there since the baby's been born, but he's a month old today. And, you know, things are going well. So we had to do a little photo shoot. And, you know, he's back. He's laying down, getting ready to go to bed. So,
yeah, man, I'm thrilled you were able to make it back on, because doing this show by myself would be pretty tedious. So,
I was happy I'd be able to make it. So.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing. So I'm glad everything's going well with mom and dad and baby. Everything's going great. So it's all good to hear. Right on. Well, let's go ahead and get started here. Today is episode 27. We have our election night shenanigans and a week 9 preview. So I was going to tease a little game that we were going to play on election night, but I wasn't really actually going to play it, just to kind of stress a little bit, because he doesn't like it when I get political. But it is election night, so obviously I'd be remiss to say if I didn't at least come out and say, listen, if your polls are still open and you're watching this and you haven't voted yet, please go do your part. But anyway, you can catch us at Toyless to Titles. John, like I said, who's under the weather right now, at Coach Sheps on Twitter. You can catch Nate here as he drinks his beer at – was that a Rolling Rock?
No, it's Busch Light. My camera makes everything green tonight, apparently, so – It looks like it's a Rolling Rock, kind of like a weird deal. I
got a little excited for a second.
I had a Rolling Rock for a while. Maybe I need to get some. It's been a while.
At Nate_Dirt19, then myself at Justin_FF_. You can find our show, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Podbean, and Periscope. Please make sure you hit this like button down here in the corner under, right there. Under Nate's shoulder, hit that subscribe button right there, and then give us that like button. Give us a comment if you'd like. If you got any questions, Rich is chiming in already. Raider Nation in the house. Okay, so we hear from Rich whenever the Raiders win. I've noticed that we hear from Rich when the Raiders win. So that's good though. That's good though. Even if we only get to hear from him a few times a year, we still love to hear from him.
Oh man.
All right. Let's see. Where were we at? And of course, on the Apple Podcast, give us that 5-star review. It's a huge help. Helps the algorithms when people are trying to search us and whatnot. So thanks for all that. The Fantasy Cares update. The Fantasy Cares update is actually going really well. We are rolling through this. So we've hit another milestone, I believe, since the last time we spoke to you guys. We're at $90 right now. Every 50 followers, we chip in another 10 bucks. Our next target is only 14 away at 689. Right now we're at 675 on the tweeter. So we appreciate you very much for helping us out with all that. I know, Rich. I'm giving you a hard time. We know. He's always watching. He's like that. He's like that supervisor around the corner. All right. Well, Nate, I guess we're just gonna jump right into the injuries here. We didn't have nearly as much in the way of injuries this week as we've had in the past, so that's always good to hear. I was a little scared about this first one. We're going to talk about Calvin Ridley with that midfoot sprain. Initially, I'm thinking, you know, how long could a midfoot sprain be? How bad is that MRI going to be? Turns out the MRI says he avoided any serious injuries, probably going to be day to day. But the one that's worrying me a little bit more here now is this Kenny Golladay with a hip injury, out next week, or this next week, week 9, and then week to week after that. And you know how those hip injuries can really be tricky and affect people over a long period of time. If Golladay is out for an extended period of time, do you think this helps or hurts Marvin Jones and Matthew Stafford in that offense? Like, as far as fantasy goes, obviously it hurts the offense on the field, but as far as fantasy goes, what do you think?
I think that I mean, obviously it helps Marvin Jones just because he's going to get more production, you know, and more volume. But I don't know, you know, it's been nice for him not to draw the other team's number one that often. And, you know, like I said, it sucks. I know they're a division rival and everything, but, you know, I'm a big fan of Golladay, and watching him and Stafford, it's been pretty fun. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it's a week or two and he's kind of gets back, but I think it could be something that kind of nags him. You know, like I said, I think in the end, it's going to be pretty good for Marvin Jones. I don't have him anywhere. I know that, but so.
Yeah, I was mainly asking because later on in the show with our streamers, I'll go ahead and tease Matthew Stafford out there. I'm kind of on the fence about him right now, but I threw him in the show notes. I don't know. I'll probably still select him because if you're streaming quarterbacks, there's not a lot out there. But yeah. But anyway, Tevin Coleman, he's in, he's out. Just like that. Another knee injury. There's no real update on it, but it really doesn't matter. He's probably the worst option right now in San Francisco when they're all healthy. So I wouldn't put too much stock into Tevin Coleman right now. Jimmy Garoppolo, man, I feel so bad for the Niners, man. And it's Tevin Coleman. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. It's George Kittle. George Kittle's out until probably around week 17 is their estimate now. That means for fantasy purposes, that's like our season, right? So we're moving on from him in redraft. Or do you move on from him in redraft? You know, like that's like he's kind of a freak. You know, he could maybe make an early comeback, and you dropped him just be in the part where you could use him during the playoffs. I don't know.
If you have IR in your redraft league or whatever, and there's a spot for him, I mean, you know, most of the time that IR is, you know, and especially about the redraft leagues I'm in that I can think of, you know, you might only have two IR spots, you know, and depending on who you got there or what you got, you know, maybe we'll keep him for a little while and see what happens. And if, you know, in 4 weeks, you know, it doesn't look like anything's going to happen, then dump him. But, yeah. You know, it sucks. He's another one that's fun to watch, but he just plays so gosh darn hard that, I don't know if we'll ever get to see, you know, a full great season, you know, which is a bummer.
Right. And it's because of the way he plays, man. Like,
yeah,
he's like an offensive Bob Sanders, you know, like freaking dynamite out there on the field. But that dynamite blows up a little too easy. But yeah, I mean, the IR thing, I mean, that's nice. If your league has an IR, that's great. But unfortunately, I know a lot of mine were filled up after week two.
Yeah, that's not good.
Jimmy Garoppolo's injury is another ankle sprain, another high ankle sprain. This one's much more severe. They're saying at the very least 4 weeks, most likely more like six, maybe even a little more, and he could even possibly have to have surgery this time. So we're moving on from Garoppolo because he wasn't playing that great when he was healthy and when he was in there this year. A huge letdown to fantasy owners, but Nick Mullins, he's out there in a lot of leagues, guys. Make sure you pick him up. T.Y. Hilton. Groin injury, no real updates, but it doesn't really matter. Like it says that it's probably not that severe, but I mean, let's be realistic. He's been droppable for the whole season. So
yeah, he's one that was probably ready to move on from, unfortunately.
Yeah. I dropped him 2 weeks ago and I haven't been upset by it at all. No. So yeah, I agree. Darrell Henderson, I put it on here earlier because we didn't really know a lot of details, but it's just a thigh bruise. They have a bye week this week, so he's probably going to play week 10. No big deal there. I'm going to let you talk about the Andy Dalton thing because I missed this on the COVID-19 list, so I'll kind of let you mention that one.
Yeah, earlier today, I sometimes have news. I got an update saying that Andy Dalton was placed on the COVID-19 list. Didn't say anything else about it. And then another update said that they were expected to start Garrett Gilbert or Cooper Rush because he was brought up from the practice squad. I guess the Ben DiNucci experiment is over. you know, it's kind of, you know, those guys like that, they don't really give him a shot. You know what I mean? He had one chance and what was he going to do? You know, realistically, what did they expect to happen? And right. I mean, it's pretty much going to be the same for Gilbert or Cooper Rush. I don't think that, you know, Garrett Gilbert, when he played for the AAF, the Apollos, I believe, was his team. You know? So
I heard something about that on, I think it was during the game. They showed it, a clip of it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and the thing about DiNucci, though, until we watched that primetime game this week, I never realized that his middle school basketball coach was McCarthy's brother. So, like, and they didn't realize, you know, they met each other much later on down the road. Like, so I wonder if that's why DiNucci was even on the team. I mean, they did take him in the last round. You know what I mean? Like, just yeah. There was that connection, you know. But yeah,
it doesn't look good. I mean, especially with the Steelers coming to town, that is not the that's not a defense you want to just send some. I mean, might as well have me out there, and that'd be just as bad.
Yeah, and something else that interests me with all this is that you said you told me that you put Andy Dalton on the show notes. So when I got home and I pulled it up, I was taking a look at it. I was expecting to see that, like he's still in the concussion protocol, and it was just a really bad head injury. Maybe he's not coming back, because it was a vicious hit. So, so it was a surprise to see he's actually COVID-19 list. So I kind of wonder, like, are they kind of wanting to keep him down a little bit? You know, like. Because I don't think you necessarily have to test positive for COVID-19 to get on the list. I think maybe if you're close contact, or if they have suspicion or reason to believe, because they're playing it safe all the way across the board. Yeah. So, like, I kind of wonder if this isn't kind of a tanking situation, you know, at this point.
That could be. I mean, but I think half this, you know, with how bad or how poor they've looked since Dak's, you know, terrible injury, like, it makes him worth that much more money. You know, look, you know, I know they weren't winning games, but, you know, they were setting records with him back there. You know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, he's not a guy that they can just move on from and start whoever.
Yeah, my son said the same thing on our way to school yesterday. Yep. But Miles Gaskin was a late add to the injury here. Like, I didn't realize he was even hurt during the game, but evidently he has an MCL sprain, and he's expected to miss at least 3 weeks. The Dolphins went out and traded to get DeAndre Washington to add a little bit of extra depth there. You got who's the old man there? Jordan Howard. So, Matt, I mean, Burita, yeah. So now it's like I think they go more running back by committee, I think. But, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Howard's probably going to get the goal line carries. He was doing really well with the goal line carries early on in the season. But with a weakened running game – in a rookie quarterback, I mean, that defense is still playing really well. So, I don't know. That'll be interesting to see. Other updates, Joe Mixon's expected to return after the Week 9 bye. Nick Chubb's expected to return after the Week 9 bye. Chris Carson is likely to return this week. Austin Eckler is still going to be out for several more weeks. That injury, I guess they're saying it is extremely bad, which we already knew that, but it hasn't really gotten much better. Miles Sanders hopeful to return after the Week 9 bye, but that's not definite yet. CMC is expected to return this week. Finally, we get CMC back, and I'm super stoked about that. I don't even own him any. Well, I think I do have one share of him, but I traded to get him after the injury. But I'm still just super stoked to see him back on the field playing again. Kenyon Drake likely to be back sooner rather than later, so that's good news. His injury is not as serious as initially reported, and then Deebo Samuel could miss two more weeks. Got anything for any of those?
I know Samuel's not playing Thursday. I saw that. So Deebo Samuel is not playing Thursday night, so I know not sure how much far. And then I did see, too, that they cut Dante Pettis today. So not that he really did anything. I think I read too that he fumbled a kick or muff a kick or something this weekend when he's in some limited time. So I think that was probably it. And yeah, he's done. So, you know, maybe he'll get a run somewhere else. You know, I know Sheps, I believe, for some reason, I think we had, you know, we kind of had some high hopes for him 2 years ago, but just hadn't worked out. So.
Yep. Right on. So, so now we're moving on to the games of the week, and, let's see, Sheps was the Colts at the Colt or the Ravens at the Colts, and obviously I have a homer vested interest in that. But his note here was, will Lamar bounce back, or will the Colts defense keep him struggling? And that Colts defense is the real deal. They are for real. Unfortunately for me personally, I think this is a chance for us to see what Rivers is going to be like against actual competition. So far, he has played really well. The last few games, I've been extremely impressed, because he's played a lot better than I anticipated he was going to be able to play this year. But he also hasn't really played a contender or a good defense, at the very least. And the Ravens are both a contender, and they have a great defense. So, personally, I don't think that it's going to really matter how well Lamar plays, because I don't see Rivers being able to overcome that defense. But what do you think? Do you think my Colts have a shot here?
Yeah, I do. I'm excited about that game too. I've been listening to quite a few different guys this week talking about the Ravens in general, just because what happened last weekend and everything. And I think that – hello, Callie. One of my dogs showed up. they're saying is, you know, the Ravens, when they play a contender, they really struggle. And I think it's pretty evident that offense doesn't look like a pro-style offense, and it really hurts them when they get down or when they play a real defense. And I think that, I think that's something that's going to happen this weekend. You know, I'm not saying I'm dumping all my money on the Colts, but I think it's going to be a really good football game.
Well, good. I hope you're right. What's your game of the week?
My game of the week is the Seahawks and the Bills. It's been the Seahawks have just looked – they've looked really good, not their defense, but their offense has been phenomenal. You know, 2 weeks ago, people thought, Russ threw 3 interceptions and like, you know, who's this guy? Well, then last week, you know, he just looked good. And then Nick Mullins came in and, you know, they scored scored a little bit. And, you know, Wilson just put his foot on the gas and didn't look back. He's been, you know, looks like on the same page with Metcalf and Lockett. The deep ball still looks phenomenal. They did make some improvements on the defensive line. I don't know if Carlos Dunlap will play this weekend or not. I didn't really look into that like I should have. I think Jamal Adams should be back too. So that's, you know, it'll be fun to watch. And the Bills haven't looked like we thought. You know, they were pretty sharp, looked hot coming out of the gate, and they've kind of stumbled as of late. You know, they didn't cover against the Jets. Last weekend – I think they would have won if Cam didn't fumble that ball. You know, they kick a field goal, tie it up, go to overtime. I think the Bills win. But, you know, they didn't look that good. And so I'm hoping that they look better, you know. But I think it's going to be a good game for sure.
Right on. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And you and John both chose a 1 o'clock game. So I went with the 4:30 route, and I'm choosing the Dolphins at the Cardinals. I chose both of these. I chose this game because both of these teams are second in their divisions. I'm not real confident that either of them are going to be able to completely make that full comeback and win their division this year, but I do think that they're both going to be playoff contenders. Obviously, one is in the AFC and one's in the NFC, so they're not going to play each other in the playoffs, so it's not like this is a future playoff bout here. But when you get two playoff teams that have a lot to play for and they're still within arm's reach of their division title, and it's about almost midway through the season right now, they're going to have a lot to battle for. So I think this will be a really fun game. Both of these teams are also on a 3-game win streak too. I've already talked about the Dolphins defense playing really well right now. And that a lot of that has been, you know, who they're playing against, but the offense has still been clicking. They've been scoring a lot of points. Cardinals are the same way. Kyler's been balling. He finds the open man. That defense is better than advertised. So I think this could be a nice battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to one of my good friends is a big Dolphins fan, and I'm a Kyler fan, not a Cardinals fan. So, you know, it'll be a fun one.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You want to before you go into your betting segment, you want to segue us through the Thrive promo and the Thrive Fantasy app?
Yeah. So one of our sponsors here is the Thrive Fantasy app. It's basically a daily fantasy app. There's our other one. I forgot to talk about
Not yet. They're not a sponsor yet, but they should be.
One day. But the Thrive app is basically a daily fantasy app with, you know, contests like your FanDuel or DraftKings. But instead of just picking players, you pick player props, whether it's over 1.5 touchdowns or under. You get, there's 20 to pick from, I believe. And then you get a couple of emergency picks just in case. And you get points for, you know, some more points for if it's above something or below. Just kind of depends on the prop. It's a lot of fun. I don't think Justin can play it in Indiana. There's a couple states that they aren't allowed to play it yet, but I think they're working on that. So, go ahead and download it where you can, see if you can play. If you can, you know, if you enter our promo code, which is T2T, which is right below me here, the letter T, the number 2, and then the letter T again. They'll match your deposit up to $50. So, you know, put in 20 bucks, they get a free 20 bucks or, up, you know, except up to $50. So it's fun. And it's a different kind of game. Good change of pace. You know, I've been struggling on it a little bit. I think my regular gambling gets in the way of things, and I kind of lean to that too much. And it's been a couple rough weeks anyways, so maybe this weekend I'll reset and do a little better. So yeah, give it a shot. Like I said, the promo code is T2T, and you know, we'd appreciate it, and so would they. So have some fun with it. And then, so it's been a little bit, but so some lines I've been looking at that I really like. I had looked at some of them Sunday when they opened. Like I said, this is from FanDuel. There's been quite a bit of movement in a couple of them. Not so much the ones that really caught my eye, but the first one I liked is the Titans -5.5 versus the Bears. I know that I dog on the Bears a lot, and that's okay, I guess. But the Titans, I think, are pretty pissed off after last weekend, you know, getting beat down by the Bengals, which I don't think anybody saw that coming, you know. And I think it's going to be a pretty physical game, probably pretty defensive, you know, a lot of good defense played. But I think that the Titans will come out on top. You know, they're a better team. The Bears, you know, people are calling for Mitch Trubisky to come back in. I don't know what, you know, that's what all I hear is, you know, that's what they want. And
that's bad.
You know, regardless of who's the quarterback, that offensive line is so bad that,
right,
you know, the run game struggles. You can't pass it. So it is what it is. But so like I said, I like the Titans -5.5. Next one is the Raiders +1.5. They're also +104 on the money line. So, you know, a little same game deal if you can. At the Chargers, it's hard to say it because the Chargers have looked really good. But, you know, were they 2-5? You know, they should be 5-2. Right. You know, those last three games, they were up by – I forgot now because I just saw the stat and I can't remember now. But, you know, they've been up by quite a bit the last three games. You know, they just don't know how to – either don't know how to finish a game, don't know how to win, whatever it is. You know, and I think that it's tough for Herbert because he's looked so good. You know, and I think – I'm sure Keenan Allen's just bummed out because, you know, they look great and then nothing. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, the Chargers will be up 35-14. And then the Raiders will win 42-35.
Keenan has looked pissed a couple of times.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, he's just flat out angry. And I think a lot of it, too, is that defense seems to fall apart in the second half.
Yes.
But it's great for us Herbert owners that own Herbert
in a lot of
different places because he is tearing it up in that second half. But I know I give Rich a hard time, but that's just because he was like one of our absolute original OG fans. So, but he is a Raiders fan, and I got to hand it to him. The Raiders are they are looking really good. There's another I don't know. He's definitely a friend of the show because he shares all our stuff and talks in another chat with me and stuff. And he's going to be on the show one time. But his name's Neil from the Clock Dodgers podcast, and he's a big Raiders fan too. And he tried to tell us in the offseason to look out for the Raiders this year, and I kind of chalked it up as, you know, that's a fan being a fan. They're right. There is a lot to that team that is kind of surprising. But those rookie wide receivers, man, are real helpful. Ruggs really opens up that field for the rest of the team.
Yeah.
So I like that bet. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I don't, you know, in my opinion, I don't really think, you know, I figured that the Chargers would, you know, be the dogs here, but hey, you know, I'll take 1.5 there. I can get it. So the last one I like is, or before I locks anyways, the one that caught my eye was Buccaneers -5.5 at home. Got the Saints coming to town. I don't know if Michael Thomas is going to play. Maybe. I don't know. Emmanuel Sanders, not sure. You know, is it going to be the same ragtag bunch of guys that you've never heard of besides Traquan Smith? And Kamara just doing all the work, like, you know, which that's fine. You know, or Taysom Hill, I guess he did score a touchdown. Gosh darn it! But yeah, so I think the Bucs are rolling. I think they're the team to beat in the NFC right now. Their defense is good. It looks like Brady's, you know, the couple games took them a little bit going, but now they're ready. Not sure if Godwin plays this week or not. Don't think it really matters. I know AB, they just picked him up. We'll see what happens. You know, but like I said, I know they didn't look their best last night, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I said they're the team to beat in the NFC for me right now. And then my locks, I got two of them here. The first one was weird for me to say it, but I like the Washington football team -3. Got the Giants coming to town. I think the Washington football team might be the best team in the East. just, you know, that I'm sorry, I know that sounds really weird, but they might be. And I
can
think
see it. I can agree with that.
I mean, it's true. I'm sorry, I don't want to say it's true, but it's just, I think that they have, you know, their defense is really good, and it hasn't looked, I mean, I know that's, like I said, really good for them, I guess I should say, but their defenses look good. The defensive front's good. I think they're going to give Daniel Jones way too much, you know, way too much for him to handle. And Terry McLaurin's looking like he's, you know, like he thought we would, or like we thought he would. And Antonio Gibson, I think he's pretty high up there with forced missed tackles. So, you know, like I said, I think they're going to put things together and just keep going. Like I said, I think they'll smack around the Giants pretty well. And then my other one, this was earlier today. I haven't checked it tonight, but it was Steelers minus 13.5 at Dallas. I know that's, you know, two touchdowns, whatever. I think the Steelers could beat them by like 35. that's being generous. I don't like that was before the I saw Andy Dalton was out. So, you know, I don't know who I don't know what we're going to see. Like I said, that Steelers defense is very, very good. Ben's looking pretty good. You know, their run game actually looks really good. Deontay Johnson, who knows? I'm getting upset every week. But the rest of them look good. Like I said, Steelers minus 13.5. I mean, if it was minus 19.5, I'd still probably hammer it. So
Yeah, no, that's a lot of points in the NFL, but Vegas knows what they're doing. That's a lot of points for a reason. So I did look it up. Godwin is still extremely questionable for this coming week, just because you mentioned that. I just thought I'd throw that out there. And then I can agree with you on Washington. I do think that if Philadelphia can get healthy somehow, then they probably will be the best team in that division. But there's no guarantees that they're ever going to be healthy. So it could be interesting to see which four or five win team wins that division.
You know, and I just watching the Eagles Sunday night, Wentz looked like it was like he didn't care with the ball. I mean, I don't know that Cowboys defense is, you know, he made that defense look really good. And I know there was some guys that played really well. DeMarcus Lawrence played well. Trevon Diggs played really well. But I don't know how a guy like that looks that poor, you know, and they just, I don't know. It was a tough game. And I just don't think, I don't know. Like I said, maybe Wentz figures it out eventually, but man, he did not look good.
Right.
You know, they were losing at halftime 9-7. Like, are you kidding me? You know, but whatever.
Yeah. That's insane.
But I digress. And I'll move on to our guy, Coach Sheps, his dudes and duds. He graciously is going to let me do this one. So hopefully I do okay for him. I got a couple duds at the end, but like I said, these are all from Sheps. First one is dudes. QB Drew Locke at Atlanta. He likes what he saw from Locke down the stretch last week. I think it's a good matchup for him and the Broncos offense. Between Judy Hamler, Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, Albert O. I can't say his last name. I'm sorry. Noah Font. You know, he's got a ton of options. I think the running backs, you know, I think they looked good last week too. And, you know, that Atlanta defense is the secondary is pretty tore up. Another quarterback he's got is Ben Roethlisberger, and he says a weekly start of the QB facing Dallas piece. You know, like I said too on my locks, I think Big Ben's going to feast. Running back, he's got DeAndre Swift at Minnesota. Swift was quiet in week 8, but I believe he'll be back in the driver's seat this week. The Vikings let up 4.7 yards per carry to the Packers' backup running backs last week. Swift should have a solid day on the ground and look for somewhere between 4 to 6 catches. I hope he's right. I got him in quite a few places. You know, and I think there is some room to run, and Matt Patricia just needs to give him the ball and stop messing around. It's been frustrating.
Yeah, I agree.
Another one, running back Leonard Fournette versus Saints. The Saints allowed Dave Montgomery 21 carries for 89 yards last week. And that was with no threat to the defense from the Bears passing game. With Brady, Evans, AB, that says Godwin, but he's not going to play, it doesn't sound like. Forcing the Saints to focus on the pass. Fournette's going to eat on the ground. Couldn't agree more. I think that's a pretty easy start there. Wide receiver, he's got Jerry Jeudy. Kind of talked about it earlier with the Drew Lock stack and that terrible Atlanta secondary. The next one is Will Fuller, who some people thought was going to be a Packer. I don't do anything. Bunch of jabronis. Last time the Texans played the Jags, Fuller went 4 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown. With the trade deadline passing, Fuller staying put. He thinks Watson's going to show his gratitude by peppering him with targets, which I could see that probably happening. And another team that has Jake Luton. Luton, is he starting quarterback for the Jaguars this weekend?
Yeah, Jake Luton, yep.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Tight end, my guy, Big Bob Tonyan. At the 49ers, Tonyan led the pack in receiving yards last week. I think I'll have another good game with high numbers. Packers without their first three options at running back, they will look to pass a lot. Start them up. I think that's right. I know Aaron Jones did practice today, got in a limited bit of work, but they do not want to rush him back, especially with the limited weapons that the Niners have. But, you know, I'm sure Jamichael Hasty will put up 340 yards on the ground and four touchdowns. So
on three carries.
Yeah, probably.
On that Will Fuller thing, man, I got to hand it to you. You definitely know your team because they were talking trade, and you obviously – being our Packers insider, and I have Will Fuller in a couple of real important leagues to me, I immediately messaged you and I was like, "Hey, man, is this trade going to go down or no?" And you were like, "Dude, this just isn't what the Packers do. Don't worry." And sure enough, because I was going to go out and try to trade him because, you know, I can't afford, you know, three or four games for him to get adapted to the new offense and then Lazard come back and he's the number three, number four, and Aaron Jones comes back, you know, like just too many questions. I didn't want to deal with the questions. I got enough injuries and questions in my life right now. I was ready to move on. So I'm glad you talked me down from the ledge, man.
I think, you know, that was, I talked to a buddy of mine, like I said, he just gets hurt too much and the Texans would have wanted, you know, too much. And let's be honest, right now, when you make a trade, you're not getting dollars for dollars. You know, that's just how it works. And I know that the Texans didn't want that. You know, Bill O'Brien was there. They probably would have just given him to us.
Yeah.
So on to the duds. Got Lamar Jackson and Indy. We both hit on this earlier. Colts defense has been playing very well as of late. Lamar Jackson has not looked all that great. I think he has at least one more down week before he turns it around. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, my thing's just with they need a drop back passing game, and that until they have that against a good defense, he's going to struggle. Mm-hmm. Next one, Kyler Murray at Miami. Dolphins shut down the Rams, looked to have the same success against Kyler and the Cardinals offense. Dolphins have one of the best passing defenses in the league and have let up the least amount of points per game this season. It's a tough matchup for Murray. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I am upset. You know, I was hoping he'd ball out, but it's going to be a good game, I think, regardless. But it is a very, very tough matchup. Running back, David Montgomery at Tennessee. Montgomery's been better than advertised over the past few weeks, but he's heading into Tennessee to face a pissed-off team that needs a win. This may turn into a defensive struggle. I don't think Montgomery get much done on the ground. Now, I think that the Tennessee front has been not as good as it should have been. And against this mediocre at best offensive line, I think they're going to do a lot better. And, you know, the Titans did release Vic Beasley today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was surprising because they paid him a lot of money, I thought. But anyways. That's what I thought. Moving on. These are the ones I got in here now. Another running back, Zeke against the Steelers. He's underperformed most of the year. I don't really see it changing. You know, with one of the really, really good defenses coming to town, obviously they're going to stack the box. They could probably put 10 guys in the box, to be honest with you, against the Pollard's quarterback. You know, and Pollard looked a lot better last week, I thought. You know, just really explosive. He looks like he wants to be there. Zeke kind of looks pretty lackadaisical to me sometimes. You know, like I said, I think they're going to run a lot, but I don't see much production. Steelers giving up less than 14 points a week to running backs right now. And then the last 3 weeks, and like I said, this half-point PPR league, I have Zeke in, and I looked at it. He's had 6 points, 5.6 points, and 7.8 points. So it's been pretty tough sledding, and I don't see that changing.
Yep.
Wide receiver Darius Slayton at the Washington football team. Washington has been very good against wide receivers this season. And I think their defense, like I said, the defensive front's going to be tough on Danny Dimes. I know Slayton looked really good last night, but I don't think this is the week to start him if you have another option. Another one was Devontae Parker in Arizona. I know Sheps had Kyler, so kind of I guess we're going against each other here, I guess. But I said everybody's excited for Tua time last week, and I was too. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think it was – this great electric performance that we all were hoping to have. You know what I mean? I didn't think he looked that good. You know, it's one game. I'm not saying he's
right.
You know, well, but
when you make your first start against Aaron Darnold in the middle, that's right off the bat, you're going to be thrown off your normal game plan. So obviously he is a lot more talented than what we saw, but it was his first game too. So yeah. I didn't start him in any of the leagues I own him. I mostly just own him in Dynasty, getting him in the rookie draft this year. So, so it was an easy no start for me, but hopefully you weren't desperate enough that you had to start him, but it'll get better.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it will get better. I think that the Cardinals defense is getting better. And I think if Patrick Peterson's out there, he could if he shadows Parker, I think it'll be a long day for him. My last dud, and this hurts me to say it, is Mark Andrews at the Colts. I have a ton of shares of Mark Andrews, whether it's in Dynasty or redraft. It's been a tough season. You know, just the offense as a whole has been struggling. But, you know, like I said, Colts defense is very good, and they're really good against the tight end. So I think that I think the Ravens are going to struggle. I think that Mark Andrews is not a guy to start this weekend if you can help it.
Yeah, definitely. I can agree with that. And just to throw this out there, the two dud running backs here, David Montgomery and Zeke Elliott, are my two main running backs in my main league. So I may just have to have you and John set my lineup for me.
Send it over.
Yeah, I'm beating my head against the wall. We start at two flex in that league, and my depth, like the top three of my bench, are equal to the bottom three of my starters, and then you throw in the two duds here. So now I just got like a pile of crap that I gotta pick four guys from. So it'll be interesting. But and then of course I own Montgomery in a lot of leagues because I tried to tell you guys several weeks ago that he was my turtle head, and just like you stated, he has overperformed the last few weeks. I do agree that he's gonna have a hiccup this week, but then he'll be right back on it with a few more good weeks. So
I am still starting Zeke in the one league I own him because I don't have anything else. But
you have to.
I don't expect much more than what I've been getting anyways, so I can't be let down, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. That just means that our letdown is over.
Yeah.
We've already been let down, and now we just expect it. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and dive into our streamers here. So let me pull up the banner. There we go. Living the stream life. So last week, my best were Joe Burrow. He was a low-end QB1 last week, and then Damian Harris, who was also my turtle head last week. And again, you want to hang on to him because Damian Harris was a mid to low RB1, depending on your scoring format. Corey Davis was a top five wide receiver for you, and Ayuk was a top 10 wide receiver for you. I had both of them in my streaming column last week. And then, and speaking of columns, don't forget that this will all be able to be found on fusionffb.com and under the articles that Joshua graciously allows us to post every week. So you can go back and read for transparency purposes, so you can see all of our dudes and duds and streamers and bets and check up on us and see how well we're doing in case you want to see if you want to continue to follow us or not. But so far we've been doing pretty well this year. I'm pretty proud of how we've turned out. Corey Davis was another one that I had said, and he finished as a top five wide receiver for you. I already said that, but I'm just really happy for it, I guess. let's see. Ebron, 4 for 48 with a touchdown, and the Saints defense was a top 10 streaming defense for you last week. Now, again, transparency. Last week I was also a little off on quite a few here. Bridgewater and Wentz were low-end QB2s. I mean, that's not horrible if you have to stream a quarterback, but you're really hoping to get a little more from the streaming strategy. But LaMichael Perine, only 2 receptions and 33 total yards. He didn't do crap for you. Beasley, 2 catches for 24 yards. Harrison Bryant had 25 yards and a lost fumble, so that killed you. Gesicki, 1 catch for 8 yards. And, of course, we already talked about the Titans. They kind of got roughed up by the Bengals, which – you know, that was kind of a surprise. There's nothing you could really do about that. 9 games out of 10, you're still starting the Titans in that situation. But anyway, what can you do? So my streams for this week, going back to the well again, and I'm going to pull out Matthew Stafford again. And again, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. Without Galladay, you do need to temper your expectations, but also understand that you're streaming here. So you got to take what you can get. Right now, he's a mid QB2, and that's probably where he's going to finish. but he is finished for this week. But he is against the Viking secondary, so he does have the potential to pop off a couple of touchdowns. Hawk has been playing really well. Jones is going to step up. Actually, Hawk is a top five tight end. They've been finding ways to get Swift the ball a little bit more. Maybe he gets even more active now in the passing game with Galladay being out this week. So who knows? I just like the thought of it. But my number one quarterback I'd want to get, if he can, is Drew Lock. And you already touched on him as a dude for this week, and I couldn't agree more. I got a real strong vibe from Drew Lock moving forward from watching that second half of the Week 8 game against the Chargers. I mean, we saw a totally different Drew Lock. He had swagger. He had confidence. And now he has Atlanta's worst defense against quarterbacks this week. So he has a real opportunity to build on that momentum. And I think one more good solid game, and you might start to see a different quarterback. We might actually have a quarterback in Denver for the first time in a long time. So I'm pretty excited about it. What's that?
I said, I think we do. I think that swagger, like I said, I noticed that earlier in the year before he got hurt. And it was kind of a bummer when Cortland Sutton got hurt and he got hurt. And then, you know, I mean, he's still got some weapons. Except it's, I think they got one there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, especially if he can keep playing with that confidence, because it was just fun to watch. Like, I don't have a dog in the fight when it comes to the Broncos anymore since Peyton retired, but just it was just fun. It was fun to watch him play, you know. And I've kind of jumped on this Herbert bandwagon where I'm a huge Herbert fan. So it was just incredible to watch those two play. So that could be a really great little rivalry there for years to come. So I'm excited about it. My running backs to stream this week: Damian Harris. He's averaging 5.7 yards per carry. He has the Jets this week. He has a rushing quarterback because Cam is averaging right around 50 yards rushing per game, and rushing quarterbacks always help running backs in the running game. And then Harris is only owned in 45% of ESPN leagues, and he is already starting to show up big in games. So again, he was my turtle head from last week. My turtle head from a couple weeks ago is my streamer again this week because people still aren't picking him up for some reason, and that's Zach Moss. I've been saying it since the offseason, and this week it bit me in the ass because I had him on my bench where he scored 20 points this week in a couple leagues. And I'm probably not going to make that mistake again, but definitely not this week. I think I'm going to start him this week, and he's only owned in 43% of ESPN leagues, and to me that's just absolutely criminal. He's splitting carries pretty much 50-50 with Singletary, but he seems to really be the go-to guy in the red zone and when the game really matters. So I think he's slowly taking over. Wide receivers are a little tough this week. Marvin Jones, I selected him just because of the Galladay being out, and you know, for me, every time I choose streaming quarterbacks, if there are streaming wide receiver availability, I tend to choose them as my streaming wide receivers too, just to get that stack. And the Vikings let everyone score big fantasy points on them. So Mike Williams is another one. He's a streaming wide receiver for me, but I like the Williams matchup well enough, and I love the way the Herbert's playing. So I'll give him a chance, because I think that Herbert and his style and the way that he can really get them in that red zone gives them far more opportunities to score touchdowns that they didn't really have early on in the season with Tyrod Taylor. So Williams could potentially be more of a thing as the season goes here. Tight ends, Rob Tonyan. I haven't really selected Rob Tonyan very much because I just keep thinking that Lazard's going to come back soon, or it's just a mirage. And honestly, it's not that he's played great. He really hasn't done a whole lot since that big 3-touchdown game in week 4 against Atlanta. But he's still one of the most targeted tight ends in the NFL from the best quarterback in the league. So San Francisco, they've played pretty well against tight ends, but they also have great linebackers, and they also haven't really played very good tight ends either. If you look at their schedule, they haven't really gone up against many decent tight ends. So Tonyan does have an opportunity, I think, to exploit them this week. So and until Lazard comes back, I'm probably just going to go ahead and start plugging him in here every week if they even have a remotely okay matchup. Trey Burton. Why not? Why not Trey Burton? He's still available in 84% of ESPN leagues, and Frank Wright obviously is clearly wanting to try to find ways to get him the ball. He currently has just as many rushing touchdowns as CEH, if that tells you anything. They're finding ways to get this guy the ball. And also, I'm going to call this shot right now. This is kind of a bold prediction here, but I think they may be trying to set us up with another little bit of a Philly special here. If you think about it, they've let Burton rush in 2 touchdowns. So I could kind of see maybe a trick play this week, going up against a tough matchup where sometimes you need those trick plays to work against the Ravens, where they, if they can actually, you know, get into the red zone against the Ravens and have an opportunity to score, I think that maybe you might be able to, you might see the old tight end Burton pull up and maybe get to see him throw the ball again. So
hopefully to Jonathan Taylor, if he's not on the bench anyways.
Yeah, no kidding. God.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though, I mean, as a Colts fan, at least the running game has still been effective. I mean, it hasn't been Taylor as much as we expected, but Wilkins is still playing really well, and Hines is out of this world, and he still needs to learn how to, like, he needs to work on sticking the landing on his back flips.
I thought that was pretty good.
It's impressive, but the landing, though, it needs more. Like, he stumbles back or he stumbles forward. So hopefully he gets a little bit more practice this week. let's see.
Get him in the end zone. Get somebody in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. We've already been talking him up earlier, but they are facing the Giants. Danny Dimes is looking more like Danny Pennies or Danny Nichols. He just looks absolutely awful. he has 13 turnovers this season. That's almost 2 turnovers a game. Washington's defense
only has 12 interceptions. So,
what's that?
Wentz has 12 interceptions. I forgot to tell you that stat.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. So, that quarterback point might be it is a huge reason why that division is so bad too.
Yeah.
So Washington's defense only had 1 sack against the Giants a few weeks ago, but they still played them extremely well, and it was one of their better games of the season on defense. Now they're coming off of their bye week where they've had another extra week to prepare for the Giants, and I think that they're going to really probably stick it to them. I don't see Daniel Jones being able to do too much here. The Texans played Jacksonville in week 5 and by far had their absolute best game of the year when you talk about the Texans' defense and special teams. 2 fumble recoveries, 4 sacks, and only 14 points scored against. And now they're facing the Jaguars' backup quarterback, Jake Luton. Or Luton. I don't know how you pronounce it. I guess we'll find out this weekend. But and just like Washington, the Texans get this juicy matchup right after – their extra bye week for preparation. So they should be prepared for them. Some other streamers to consider: Kirk Cousins, Rex Burkhead, Frank Gore, Jerry Jeudy, John Brown, the Giants defense, and the Titans defense again. Got anything on any of that, or do we want to just roll right into the DFS lineups?
Let's keep it rolling.
All right. Cool. Go ahead.
So Sheps has his DFS plays. I think he's been doing pretty decent. When I say decent, he's been doing very well. Started giving out just a full lineup. I don't remember how he did last week. I guess I should have paid more attention. I'm sorry. And that it was very funny when I saw that about Matty Ice. Oh, sorry, Matty Stafford. This is DraftKings.com. At quarterback, he's got Ben Roethlisberger. I don't really need to say much about it. We've talked about it plenty. At Dallas, 6,500. Running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus the Panthers for 6,100. I don't blame him there for that one at all. DeAndre Swift, that was one of his dudes, at Minnesota for 5,000. Wide receiver, he's got Tyler Lockett at Buffalo for 6,800. I hit on that in my games of the week. It seems like almost they're going back and forth. One week it's Metcalf, one week it's Lockett. I was pretty excited about Lockett and Wilson. I think before the start of the year, I think I said something about it, but that was the first wide receiver. Next one is Juju Smith-Schuster at Dallas for 6,200. Another thing we've hit on, I don't know, way too many times. And the third wide receiver, he's got Jerry Jeudy at the Falcons, which was another one of his dudes. Like I said, with the poor defense in Atlanta
and Drew Locke and that young Jeezy swagger. At tight end, Noah Fant, another one of the Broncos going against the Falcons. His flex play, he's got Adam Thielen versus Detroit. Thielen was quiet last week against my Packers, but, you know, Dalvin Cook could have been the quarterback and done everything. When he had 260 yards. We don't need to talk about it. And then his defense, the special teams, is the Redskins. Another thing, you know, like I said, we've all talked about that tonight, and they're 3,400. So, again, real quick, quarterback Roethlisberger, running backs CEH and DeAndre Swift, wide receivers Tyler Lockett, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jerry Jeudy, tight end Noah Fant, flex Adam Thielen, and then the Redskins defense. So give it a shot. Let us know how you do.
So
probably
quietly, I really kind of like that that Thielen flex spot. I went back and looked last year and the one game this year where he only has three or fewer catches and he has a bad game with no touchdown. The very next week, he always bounces back with either a touchdown or a 100-yard game. So that's going back, like I said, a season and a half now, unless there was an injury involved. But
I think Cousins threw the ball 13 times last week. So
right. And then
– yeah, it was like 138 or something.
Yeah. So. And against Detroit this week. So, yeah, he should score. I'm not going to call that one out as a bold prediction because it's Adam Thielen. He could score any week. But he should score this week. And at the very least, if not, he should have, you know, six catches and 100 yards easy. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I own him there too. But all right, so my turtle heads. Last week, again, I mentioned Damian Harris as my turtle head, and he came out and got 102 yards and a touchdown. And this is his second 100-yard game for the rookie, and he's only played like five games. So I'm telling you guys, he's going to be something. And typically we don't want Patriots running backs, and I totally understand that. I get it. But this is a different Patriots team. This isn't Tom Brady back there trying to play the hot hand or finding what the defense will give him and utilizing White when they need to throw the ball and utilizing Burkhead near the red zone. No, this is Cam Newton, who wants one guy who can do it all and do it well and be a nice comparable piece with him. And that's just how this new Patriots offense is going to have to run from here on out. So Damian Harris is going to be a dude in this league for as long as Cam is a Patriot anyway. And even after, but that was last week. This is this week. Ross Dwelly. So I'm kind of digging a little bit, but if you think about it, Nick Mullins is going to be the quarterback for several weeks to come, and Kittle's out. And last year when Kittle was out, Dwelly filled in nicely. And when Mullins or Beathard have been in at quarterback for Jimmy G, they target Kittle like crazy. And I don't blame him. If I'm the quarterback in that situation, then I'm going to dump it off to Kittle every damn play if I can, because he'll find a way to make a play and make you look good. But even more so than just the normal, hey, I'm in trouble, I'm going to throw it to my quarter or throw it to Kittle. It's like they always throw it to the tight end position. So I could see Dwelly coming out and having a very large role in this offense moving forward if they're going to actually be able to do anything in that offense at all. What do you think about that?
Like I said, I like it. Well, not this week. I hope I don't have to like it, but they'll just run the ball anyways. But I'd like to know, I need to find a 49ers fan that can look this up, or I guess maybe I should just not be lazy. But it seems like when Nick Mullins is in, they like open up the playbook and they are throwing the ball all over the place. You know, when Jimmy G's back there, it's like, you know, like Kirk Cousins last week, throws the ball 13 times, maybe 15 times a game, and they run, which it works. I get that. But it seems, like I said, it seems like Shanahan opens up the playbook when Nick Mullins is in there, which is weird. But, you know, maybe that's just, I don't know. Like I said, maybe I'm completely wrong. But.
And honestly, I have the game pass, so I might go back and watch a few of the earlier games. But maybe there's a chance that they do open it for Jimmy G, and he just can't perform, you know.
Maybe, I mean, that's very possible.
You know, I don't know. It's worth looking into. Yeah, that's a great observation. I might have to look into that this week. Cool. Well, I mean, do you have anything to add before we get into the closing statements here?
I do not.
I mean, I use closing statements because, you know, it is a historical night for our country. So
big day in America. NFL draft came and went, or NFL trade deadline came and went, and it was very boring.
Right. Very. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing major for fantasy purposes. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. But we get that once a year. So that's good. So we still have more to come there. But all right. Well, do us a huge favor. Hit that like and subscribe button. Check us out pretty much anywhere that you can find us, but mainly Apple Podcasts. And then, of course, right here on YouTube, you're already seeing that. But again, I think this is a good show. I think we did pretty well. We filled in for John adequately, at least, I think. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure he'll give us a critique. So I got a comment here. I'm in a standard league, and I have Ebron and Hurst. Who do I start? And or do I try trading for a better tight end in the term?
Okay. I'm starting Eric Ebron. That's me, though.
For this week, definitely Ebron. Try to trade for a better tight end long term. I mean, and also, by the way, Doug, I don't know if you see it or not, but Rich is going with Ebronics also. So, I think for this week, it's got to be Ebron because of the matchup for sure. But long term, I guess it just kind of depends on your situation and what you can afford to give up. Yeah, I know there usually are. It seems like there usually are a few teams that have a couple of good tight ends that you can deal with. So,
I don't play in standard leagues. I never have, and I don't. I've never really. Like I said, this is the first year I've ever had like a big name tight end out of any redraft with Mark Andrews. So, you know, don't have a problem. Yeah, right. I don't have a problem rolling with Ebron, to be honest. I think that he's actually done better than he has in the previous years. And I think that Big Ben likes having him there. I know he's got a myriad of weapons to use, but I think that, you know, I think Ebron's going to be okay. You know, nothing special, you know, but, you know, here and there, like I said, he had a big touchdown last week. So,
well, I'm looking at his schedule now. He has Dallas, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville the next 3 weeks. So that's a nice schedule. And then Baltimore in week 12, which he just played Baltimore, and he was one of my hits on the streamer list. So I was willing to stream him against Baltimore, and he had 4 catches for 48 yards and a touchdown. So likely, because of the way Baltimore plays tight ends, I might be willing to start him that week too. Washington's actually pretty decent against tight ends at times. And then you have Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Indy in the playoffs. It's not bad. Yeah, I could probably live with that, especially depending on what you got to give up to get one of those better tight ends, you know?
Yeah.
And then who was the other tight end he mentioned there? I'm on a Hayden different Hurst. Who?
Hayden Hurst.
Hurst. All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at that. We got a little time here.
That offense is – it's hard to tell what's going on. I know maybe this – I'm sure we say that in this week against – Denver. Right?
Yeah.
You know, against Denver, he'll do something, you know, because Calvin Ridley may not play. But Hurst hasn't showed. I mean, he's had a couple games here and there, but he hasn't showed much. I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, my opinion, anyways.
This is a nice schedule coming out too. After Denver, he's got the bye. New Orleans, Vegas, New Orleans again. The Chargers haven't been great against tight ends. Tampa Bay. And then Kansas City in the championship game. I think you kind of need that Chargers game in week 14 for that Ebron game. I think I forget who I said Ebron had in week 14, but it was a tougher opponent. So you could probably – I think you could play the matchups between these two for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I said I just roll with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, week 14, yeah, that was Buffalo. They are a little tougher against tight end. So yeah, I think week 14 you play that matchup switch and maybe week 13 against Washington. I'm not 100% confident that I remember how well Washington is against tight ends, but regardless, between the two, I think you can play the matchups there. All right, right on. So, any other questions out there from TV Land? Let's see. That's a Bart Simpson reference, by the way. I don't know if anybody caught that, but all right, so I think that's it. Make sure you guys, like I said, make sure you like us on all of the possible apps out there. And again, election day, so make sure we are loving each other. Doug says he has been playing the matchups all year. It's been killing him. Well, then play the other matchups. Whenever yeah. you think you have the matchup that you need, just start the other guy. See how that works out for you. All right. Well, I'm going to say we're going to have to keep on loving each other, especially in a time like this. We're going to need each other. So you got anything to add before we cut out of here?
Just keep staying positive and testing negative.
Love it. Love it. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.